Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes!
No, it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. Thanks again to Tom D'Angelo from the Palm Beach Post for joining us. We'll talk more hoops this hour. In a couple minutes, we'll hear from Minka Fitzpatrick, what he had to say on the Joe Rose Show this morning. Later this hour, we'll have my top three list, top three most important players on South Florida teams. Most important doesn't always have to be the best player on the team, which I think I have a handle on that with the list that I came up with, right? Whereas, you know, for the Miami Heat, I would say Goran Dragic is the best player on the Heat. Doesn't necessarily mean he's the most important player. Rashad Jones or Cam Wake, one of those two, I would say best player on the Miami Dolphins. Doesn't mean they're the most important player. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe for the Florida Panthers, Alexander Barkov, best player, probably also the most important player, but that rule does not always apply, Tito.
It's like the 2013 Heat team.
Oh, what, because clearly Mario Chalmers was the best player on that team?
The straw that stirs the drink.
He's all in. He's all in with this Mario Rio via the best, not only the best point guard in Heat history, probably the best.
I named my dog after him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So is the dog's name just Rio or Mario?
It's formerly Mario, but we mostly call him Rio.
I love that. I don't know if I've not had that many pets in my life because my pets tend to live a very long time, right? Like from the age of 3 until I was like 16, 17. We had a German Shepherd named Hershey, which was not named after a person or an athlete. From like the age of 5 until 20, we had a cat named Milo, who was actually named after the cat from Milo and Otis, 80s movie. Do you ever see that, Tito?
No.
And apparently like a lot of like cats and dogs were killed in the filming of that movie. Like PETA, hey, we didn't know that at the time. And also like in the 80s, people didn't really care at the time. But I think you came to find out, like, after the movie Milo, because there was this scene where, like, the dog, Otis, goes down a waterfall, and apparently they had to film that scene, like, 20 times to get it right, and it was, like, real dogs going down a waterfall. Like, what are you doing, man? If they made that movie today, like, the director of that film would have been shot. Like, you can't do that anymore. But we named our cat, like, my childhood cat, Milo, is named after the cat from that movie. And then later, like, we got another cat, who we very uncreatively, after Milo passed away, we named our next cat Mello. And that's pretty much it for my pets.
For Carmelo?
Not for, oh, see that, it sounds like that, right? No. And I think that was maybe like right when Carmelo was in college. No, we didn't intentionally name our cat after Mello. We didn't.
When I was, I believe it was happened before I was born, but my parents named, we had two cats and we named them Bo and Jackson.
Oh, see, wow. So you really do the sports thing then.
Well, my family started it. I wasn't really into it until I just recently got my dog 3 months ago. But,
right. Yeah,
I mean, it's cool. I think the trick with dogs, and I've always said this, is you have to name them something with E in the syllables.
Really?
Because they pick that noise up a lot better.
Wow. I had no idea. Well, Hershey was my dog. That was in there.
Dog facts.
I've never even thought of that. George Sedano, I know he has or had, hopefully the dog is still alive. I haven't asked him about it, but he had a dog named Riley, which he named after Pat Riley because he's a Heat lifer, Sedano. So yeah, I guess a lot of, have you named your pet after an athlete or a coach? 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. So I want to hear from Minka Fitzpatrick, who was on with Joe Rose today, and it's going to start getting Dolphins intensive, right? Like our sports talk. And it's not just what we talk about on this radio station. Because, like, I don't know if this is the right approach to my job, but this tends to be the approach that I take, Tito, and I think it's kind of like a symptom of the social media age. I don't so much try and set the narrative. I like to try and see what people are talking about and give you my take on it. Like, that's kind of what I try to do on the air. I don't know if I could have done it this way 10, 15 years ago before Twitter, before people are very, because I like to see what, because I follow a lot of South Florida sports fans on social media. I like to see what's really important to people, and I like to give you my take on it. I don't like to come on the air and tell you, I think that story X, Y, and Z is really important. That's what you should be talking about. I kind of like to feel and get the vibes of what the South Florida fan. I like to get the pulse of the community. I like to do it that way. But I know that over the next couple of weeks, with OTAs and mini camps coming up later this month for the Miami Dolphins, it's really going to be, we're all going to be focused on what is Minka Fitzpatrick doing, what is Ryan Tannehill doing, what about Mike Gesicki, who was on with Hockman and Crowder this afternoon. But you know, Minka Fitzpatrick will be very important to this Miami Dolphins club this year. He was on with Joe Rose and Zach Kranz this morning. Here's Minka on how much he loves to make plays from anywhere on the field.
I just like making plays. That's it. So it doesn't really matter whether it be playing the half, playing the middle field, playing, covering the slot, covering the X receiver. I just like making plays.
And, you know, everybody talks about how, well, this was a luxury pick. You drafted Minka Fitzpatrick because he was the best player available. You didn't really need a safety because Rashad Jones, Pro Bowler, is already there. TJ McDonald, who you just gave a contract extension to, is already there. That this was really just a best player available, a BPA pick. But I think that what makes this, what's going to really make this work, and it's not to say there won't be times when Fitzpatrick won't deserve to be on the field at free safety over TJ McDonald. But I think what makes this really exciting is the fact that Minka Fitzpatrick is capable of playing so many different roles on the defensive secondary, including nickel corner, that you're going to see plenty of downs where you can have Rashad Jones, TJ McDonald, and Minka Fitzpatrick all on the field at the same time, that one doesn't necessarily have to come at the expense of another. So I think not only his versatility, but his willingness to be a Swiss Army knife, unlike a guy like Tim Tebow, the number one reason why, I know that they'll tell you, oh, they didn't want him to be a distraction. The number one reason why Tim Tebow has not been on an NFL roster in half a decade is because he was not willing to play a little fullback or H-back, that he insisted on being a quarterback. That maybe if he had decided, you know what, if I really want to be in the NFL, I'm really going to have to try a position change, was not willing to do that. Was entrenched on the idea of being a quarterback. He's now a minor league baseball player. Whereas Minka Fitzpatrick is willing to play a number of different spots on that defensive secondary. Here is Minka Fitzpatrick, and I'm bringing up this for a reason, right? Because I have another Nick Saban story to get to here. But here is Minka Fitzpatrick on his love for his college coach, Nick Saban.
I like to use this. He's real thorough with everything, whether that be offense, defense, special teams. He was real thorough with it all. And he was just out there, just, he was coaching everybody just the same way. He wasn't letting nobody take off no plays. He wasn't letting nobody, just not work hard. So I appreciated him doing that. And he definitely helped me get to where I am today.
And before we get to another clip from Minka, Tito has just given me an exciting tease in my ear. There's a Woj bomb with five. Here we go.
Per Adrian Wojnarowski, the Milwaukee Bucks have hired Mike Budenholzer from the Atlanta Hawks.
Budenholzer rises again. I was a big fan of him. What was he in Atlanta? I was a big fan of Budenholzer. I just mainly wanted to make fun of you because I don't understand why you pronounce it Woj bomb. Everybody else says Woj bomb.
It's a Woj bomb.
Like, you said it in my ear. We have a Woj bomb. And I thought that was incredibly funny. I mean, good for Budenholzer, but I really don't care. All I care about is the fact that you say Woj bomb. And you know who does the same thing? Is this a millennial thing? Because Alex Solana, he says it the same way. Like, he used to, before So it's only a matter of time before Tito gets some great promotion because, like, my show is like the farm system for people getting moved up, like, to midday slots. Like, I used to have Catalina before they took her to Big O. I used to have Solana. So I think big things are in store for Tito here. But I remember Alex Solana, when he used to work with me, would always say Waj Bomb. And now I hear Tito say the same thing. Is this like the under like 25 crowd says Waj Bomb?
They're Waj Bombs, Donald.
They're Woj Bombs.
No, they're Waj. Waj Bombs.
But if you say the guy's full name, you even say Wojnarowski.
Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski.
So it's a Woj Bomb.
Yeah, but nobody says it like that.
What?
Yeah, it's when you say Waj Bomb, it's like, it's.
I think it sounds ridiculous. I think it sounds terrible. And listen, I'm glad you interrupted the show to announce Mike Budenholzer had a new job. Who the hell cares? Give me one more soundbite from Minka Fitzpatrick. These are his thoughts on Adam Gase.
You know, he seemed like a great coach. I could tell that he was really passionate about what he does, which is great as a head coach. I could tell he was real. He had a real good football mind. I mean, we were just talking some balls a little bit, but I could tell that he really knew what he was talking about, and he just really enjoyed the game.
By the way, I love this text. I named my pet roach Saban. The Alex Donahoe Show continues. We'll have my top three list, top three most important South Florida athletes, most important players next here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. I never thought that the pronunciation of Woj Bomb or Waj Bomb could be so divisive. Man, I just see a text that like repeatedly calls Tito a douche for the way that he pronounces it. He says Waj Bomb.
Waj Bomb.
But I just don't get, like, if the man's name, and you admit it's Wojnarowski, how that could be, why that wouldn't be Woj Bomb? Like, how Wojnarowski, Woj Bomb, why would that be Waj Bomb?
It comes off better as Waj Bomb.
Oh. I'm done with you.
I'm
also done with this Manny Chang. I've got a Twitter poll up. Please vote. The returns are not looking good for him so far. Like, this really happened today. So, and if you follow me on Twitter at Alex Dono, that's also where you find this Twitter poll. Very, very graciously, I received in the mail, courtesy of, I want to give credit here, Bobblehead Hall of Fame. So the actual Bobblehead National Hall of Fame and Museum, which apparently is located in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How about that? Who knew? So the actual Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum mailed to me personally the turnover chain bobblehead, the Miami Hurricanes turnover chain bobblehead. You seen this? I tweeted out a picture. You know, unfortunately, because of the NCAA, you can't, like, make a bobblehead after, like, a collegiate player. So they went with Sebastian the Ibis, which is, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, like, don't expect, like a Nikosi Perry bobblehead or something. But it's Sebastian the Ibis throwing up the U wearing the turnover chain. This is the official turnover chain bobblehead. And I don't know if it's because they heard me talk about this on the air last week or if they know that I'm involved in the Hurricanes broadcast. Whatever it is, I want to thank the Milwaukee National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. They sent me the turnover chain bobblehead. And so I tweeted out a picture of it today. And he didn't even respond to my tweet at first. I get, you know, a private text message on my phone from Manny Chang asking me, can I get one of those turnover chain bobbleheads? To which I responded, well, no, because you covered up your UM tattoo. You can't cover up your U tattoo because you're now a Florida State fan and expect to get a turnover chain bobblehead. And so, you know, he should have known. You send me that text message. I am going to out you publicly that Manny Chang, the same guy who put a knife in the back of the Miami Hurricanes football program and twisted it, not only did he become a Florida State fan for love, I mean, he started dating a Florida State fan. When that happens, you make her a Miami fan. You don't convert for her. You don't convert out of love. So he became a Florida State fan, then covered up his U tattoo for the face of Iron Man, who's a stupid superhero anyway, and he wants me to send him a turnover chain bobblehead. And then he admitted to me that he wants to actually be let back into the club. That I think this is kind of pathetic to have some conviction, but he wants to be welcomed back into the Canes fam. He wants to be a Hurricanes fan again. So I put the poll up there on Twitter. Should Manny Chang wants to be a Canes fan again, should we welcome him back into the Canes fam? The choices are either yes or hell no. And Tito, the last time I checked, hell no was winning by a margin of about 89%. Hell no, we do not let Manny back into the club. He's no longer a Canes fan, which also means no bobblehead.
Sounds right.
There you go. So Manny Chang will not be let back into the club. I think that's fair. Now, speaking of Canes football, I came across, this makes sense to me. CanesWarning.com is singing the praises of incoming freshman tight end Brevin Jordan, who I think is going to be a great player. Jordan joins the Miami football program in a position of great need. That's fair. Tight end is a position of tremendous need after losing Chris Herndon. Herndon finished second on Miami in 2018 in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. Rising junior Michael Irvin II and rising sophomore Brian Polende didn't do much behind Herndon last season. Irvin had 9 receptions for 78 yards in 6 games. Polende also played in 6 games in 2018, played mostly on special teams, did not record a reception. According to Miami Herald Susan Miller Degnan, Jordan is expected to enroll in Miami at Miami on Monday. He and classmate Will Mallory should give the Hurricanes a significant upgrade at tight end. So the point of this piece, the headline of this piece, which was written by Alan Rubenstein at CanesWarning.com, Brevin Jordan could be the most important freshman for Miami football in 2018, even over a guy like Lorenzo Lingard, who was a 5-star, or Mark Pope, who was a 5-star, that Brevin Jordan, because he plays at such a position of need, could be the most important freshman for Miami football in 2018, even if he's not necessarily the best player that comes in. So it got me thinking, because the best player is not always the most important player, thinking about our South Florida teams, whether it be the Miami Hurricanes, the Miami Heat, the Miami Dolphins, most important player on each team, I will give you my top three in this edition of the Dono Top 3.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's Top 3 on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
All right, so in thinking about South Florida's teams, I didn't bother to rank a Marlin on the top three because, listen, nobody cares about those guys. With the Florida Panthers, I feel like their best player is also their most important player, Sasha Barkov. So I left him out of the top three. So for my number three, I'll actually go to the Miami Hurricanes. I think Miami's most important player, the Hurricanes' most important player this year, will be a guy who may be playing his final season before he leaves a year early for the draft, Shaquille Quarterman. I think about how important that linebacking core is for defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, who's also the linebackers coach. And Shaq Quarterman, I think, is the best overall player on that defense anyway. And even as a freshman and a sophomore, he was a team leader. And I think that's only going to improve exponentially now as a junior. I think he's probably a leader on that entire team, especially on that defense. Shaquille Quarterman, I think, is the most important player on the Miami Hurricanes. And I get it that whoever wins that quarterback job is going to be in that conversation as well. But so much of the success that the Miami Hurricanes have on the field is dictated by their defense, that the offense clicks when the defense is making big plays, forcing turnovers, tackle for a loss, fourth and long. The offense feeds so much out of that defense. As we learned during the Mark D'Onofrio years, you cannot expect to accomplish anything at Miami if your defense is not making plays. In the case of the Hurricanes, I think the defense is more important, and I think Shaquille Quarterman is the most important player on that defense. I go with Shaq Quarterman as the most important player on that team heading into 2018. Number two, I look to the Miami Heat. And while I think the best player, and I've said this a couple of times, best player right now on this Miami Heat team is Goran Dragic, I don't think he's the most important player. And this is twofold Because whether or not this guy is even on the team next year, I think he's the most important player. And that's Hassan Whiteside. The on-the-court stuff is obvious, right? If Hassan Whiteside is back next year, if he can be assertive, if he can be aggressive, if he can make himself a little bit more versatile in, you know, covering opposing centers who play more on the perimeter, if he can play with more effort, the guy who's sucking up $98 million, Hassan Whiteside, yeah, on the court as the highest paid player, being so unique, should be the most important player, but that's true even off the court. Because if Hassan Whiteside, he's so important this coming offseason, it would be such a coup if Pat Riley could trade him, get his salary off the books, and get something in return, right? That he becomes such an important piece. You know, we're seeing a story. We talked about this with Tom DeAngelo from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. They suggest trading Andrew Wiggins straight up for Hassan Whiteside. If that could happen, Pat Riley would be getting the steal of the century. And so whether he's on the team or not, whether it be a bargaining chip or a trade piece or an on-the-court stopper next year, Hassan Whiteside is the most important player on that Miami Heat team. It doesn't matter if he ever puts the uniform on again or not, because whether you're getting something in return for him for a trade or getting his money off the books, or he's actually stepping up and being a little bit more mature and more aggressive on the court, Hassan Whiteside is the most important player on this Miami Heat team. My number one, go back to the Miami Dolphins. Now, this has already been guessed by every texter. This is the one where I will stick with the people on this one. He's not the best player on this Dolphins team. May not even be top three, right? Because I think the best players on the Miami Dolphins, I go Rashad Jones number one, Cameron Wake number two. Then anything beyond that is your guess is as good as mine. But Ryan Tannehill, most important player on this Dolphins team. Because you go from a 6-10 year last year, where a lot of that blame can be put on the quarterback position. The crutch, the excuse you can use is, well, come on, guys. We were going back and forth between Jay Cutler and Matt Moore. Ryan Tannehill returning can make this team instantly better. Look at how good he was. Look how well he was playing in 2016 up until December when he got hurt. This is a case where I will side with the most important position in football. I didn't go this way with the Miami Hurricanes. I do go this way with the Miami Dolphins, that Ryan Tannehill, who hasn't played football in a year and a half, and you think about the weapons that they're putting around him. I know you gave up Jarvis Landry, but you did bring in Wilson and Amendola. You drafted Mike Gesicki. You've enhanced that running back position with Ballage and Frank Gore. Kenyon Drake, I think, is heading towards a breakout year. Ryan Tannehill has pieces around him that, in theory, and if Devontae Parker can actually step up and play well, Ryan Tannehill becomes even more important. Haven't seen this guy in a very long time. I believe Ryan Tannehill, that's my number one choice, most important player in town right now, because the Dolphins will either sink or swim, depending on what Ryan Tannehill does this year. And it's, I know we've said this a couple times with this guy, who's now 30, or going to be 30 when the season starts. It's the make-or-break year. I almost laugh when I say that, because how many times have we been down this road? Make-or-break year for Ryan Tannehill. But if he doesn't show you a whole lot this year, then you've got to decide on his replacement by next year, right? Like, you can't, if Ryan Tannehill is underwhelming this year, you can't let another NFL draft slip through your fingers without drafting a quarterback. You can't let another free agent period slip by without addressing the position in a serious way. Not talking about Bryce Petty and Brock Osweiler, addressing it in a serious way, that this should be that make or break year. Man, everybody on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line is saying hell no to let Manny Chang back into the Hurricanes fan bandwagon. And somebody was asking me, I can happily say this is not the case. Somebody asked me if he's trying to come back because he and the FSU girlfriend broke up. As far as I know, they're still happily in love, right? But maybe Manny has decided he doesn't want to board a sinking ship, Florida State football. I mean, he became a fan last season, and they had their worst year since the 1960s. So he might be the mush. He might be the bad luck charm for that team. And he may realize Mark Richt and company, they're on the way up. Florida State, we don't know, another coaching change. Excellent selection for the Canes' most important player, Texter writes, because Quarterman and company must make up for the defensive lineman who left early. Yeah, that's another thing. You can see a lot of blitzes. They're going to have to pick up some of that slack, my friends. Oh, man. We'll have a new edition of Clickbait when we come back. Some really good stories today, I think. You know, I don't write this stuff, so I can proudly say these are really good clickbait stories we'll get to, including, this is one of the best I've seen in a long time, Tito, a real-life Billy Madison. Have you ever seen Billy Madison? Do you know what that's about?
Fantastic movie.
A real-life Billy Madison. I'll explain what that means next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, so I was talking a lot about Canes football in the last segment, and I really wanted to bring something up as it relates to Canes baseball. This weekend is historic for Canes baseball. It is the final home series coming up for Jim Morris, the skipper, before he retires. And I think that is significant. I think that is incredibly meaningful because he represents, and obviously Coach Frazier before him, but still Jim Morris represents an unbelievable, fruitful time in college baseball when the Miami Hurricanes, for the vast majority of his tenure, were right at or near the top in baseball powerhouses in the country. And I think it's very significant that this is his final home series. Begins tomorrow night at Mark Light Field. So Thursday, May 17th against Boston College. Friday, May 18th. Thursday and Friday are both 7 p.m. start times. And then Saturday, May 19th. Don't want to miss that one. That will be Jim Morris's final regular season game as the Hurricane skipper. That'll be a 1 p.m. start time. So come for the milkshakes. Stay for Coach Jim Morris's farewell. I think that's going to be very impactful. And admittedly, and I'm not proud of this, I have not been out to a game yet this year. I mean, having an 11-week-old child at home makes that a little bit difficult. But I've not been out to a game yet this year. I do plan on attending Morris's final game, at the very least. If I can get out there, well, actually, yeah, I probably will only be able to attend the final game because the Thursday, Friday are tough for me because of my on-air schedule. But Saturday, there's no place I would rather be than Mark Light Field, giving Coach Morris the farewell that he deserves, man. I think that's very significant and very historic for this program that these will be the final games at the U coached by Jim Morris.
Those milkshakes are just worth the price of admission.
No question, man. No question the milkshakes are good. Did you, by the way, have you ever gotten one? Because didn't you admit to me you hadn't?
Yeah, I actually haven't yet, and I really want
Wait,
to.
Wait, what? So hold on. You can't come on. You can't come on and say that the milkshakes are worth the price of the admission when you've never actually had them.
I had them when they first came out. Okay. But I haven't had, like, those really, like, the new ones that they've made within the last, like, 3 years. I had the U one, like, which is, like, cookie dough and chocolate and stuff. And then I remember I seeing a promo on Twitter that for the North Carolina series, they did it was like chicken and waffles milkshake.
Man.
Yeah. Well, they put like basically a waffle cone in your milkshake with a strip of chicken and chocolate syrup drizzled on top. It's creative, man. I mean, they've got some handy dandy milkshakes over there.
Yeah, chicken and waffles. That was when those first started getting popular. I did not think I would like it, and it turns out I did. Like I remember. When would you say the chicken waffle craze started? Like around like 2011, 2012 is when it started. I remember going to Los Angeles in 2009 because at that time I had never heard of putting chicken and waffles together, right? I don't think that craze had started yet nationwide. Like I think that back 2009 and before, chicken and waffles was like a very localized thing because in Southern California they have this Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which is it's a really popular spot, and they've been doing that for probably decades, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. So I remember back in 2009, like I had never heard of putting chicken and waffles together. I was in L.A. A buddy of mine who lived out there said, okay, so you've had In-N-Out Burger. I got to take you to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. I'm like, wait, chicken and waffles? Like who in their right mind would eat the two of those things together? And it turns out to be like one of the greatest meals that God ever created. And then I remember like a year or two after that, I started to see people in Florida making chicken and waffles. So I think that's kind of when the trend caught on.
It's a top five food combination.
Well, what are the other four then? I think you just pulled that out of your bum. Like you're just going to throw a top five food combination. What, like PB&J?
I feel like pizza and ranch, but that's not food. That's more like sauce and pizza.
Yeah, I see. I'm not on board with that one. I don't like pizza and ranch. I mean, maybe it's like just the crust, but if it's like on the, any part with tomato sauce, I'm not a fan of that.
Mac and cheese and brisket is a phenomenal combination.
I like that.
That's actually mixed often, more often than people think.
What about like mozzarella and tomato?
For sure.
That's solid.
Well, I feel like that's like the basis for pizza.
Well, right, but you can have like the fresh, mozzarella di bufala with pomodoro, a little tomato and mozzarella, like the actual fresh, like a slice of tomato and a slice of buffalo milk mozzarella. It's delicious.
I'm good.
You don't like that?
Not really.
Wow, what is wrong with you? By the way, the best text that I got about Manny. So Manny Chang, who months ago declared he was now a Florida State football fan, drove the knife in the backs of Kane's fam, went as far as to get his U tattoo. He had a tattoo of the iconic U logo, which I maintain, come at me, the U logo is the most iconic logo in sports. And maybe the New York Yankees or like Real Madrid may be in that neighborhood, but I think the U is the most iconic logo, certainly in American sports, the most iconic logo in sports. And Manny Chang, because he started dating a lovely woman, Florida State alum, changed his allegiances. He flip-flopped. He's now a Florida State fan, and he got his U tattoo covered up with the face of Iron Man. Texter writes in. It's my favorite one. We've gotten a lot of profanity-laced texts we cannot read. But this text came in. What kind of spineless jabroni changes his team allegiances because of a girl? I mean, don't you see these stories about, like, Michigan fans dating Ohio State fans and they make it work? You know, a Barcelona fan dating a Real Madrid fan, they make it work somehow. But I guess Manny decided day one, I cannot make this relationship work unless I convert to her religion of Florida State. Biscuits and gravy, Texter writes in, is another all-time food combination. All right, it is time, my friends, for a new edition of Clickbait. Oh, we didn't have the open ready. You were too busy thinking about how much you love chicken and waffles. It is time for new edition.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dano Show.
I would consider this guy in Dallas, Texas to be a real-life Billy Madison, but this is a lot creepier when it happens in real life. This guy must have just decided, I would like a do-over with high school. Like, I would like, and a lot of people feel like high school were their glory days. Imagine if you could do a do-over, hit the do-over button on high school, knowing what you know as a grown-up, right? Because I think back, Tito, a lot of the missed opportunities I had with, like, girls in my high school, a lot of missed opportunities I had with not being the great athlete that I should have been. I feel like if I were to go back in time and relive those days, knowing what I know now, I could succeed at more things in high school. This guy really decided to do it. A 25-year-old man posed as a teenager, enrolled in a Dallas high school, and he played basketball this school year. 25-year-old dude. He also allegedly, and this is the creepy part of it, right? I don't condone this. He also allegedly had his eye on some of the girls at the campus. At least one 14-year-old at Hillcrest High School told her parents that he kissed and touched her. That's he went a little too far there. Me Too movement. Went a little too far. Number 14 for Hillcrest was a man among boys, literally. High schoolers knew him as 17-year-old Rashawn Sidney Robinson. In reality, he was 25-year-old Sidney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley. I can see why he shortened the name. So his real name, Sidney Bouvier Gilstrap Portley. Unfortunately, it was a perfect storm, said Dr. Michael Hinojosa, the superintendent. When he had the issue of Hurricane Harvey in the Houston area, he took advantage of that and portrayed himself as a victim of the event and enrolled himself in one of our schools. He first enrolled at Skyline, then transferred to Hillcrest High School. That time, he said he wasn't a victim of the hurricane and instead told campus administrators he was homeless. We have some liberal policies for homeless students, but he knew that, said the superintendent, and he took advantage of this opportunity to enroll at Hillcrest. So this guy just decided, I don't know if he was bored with his life or if he just wanted the, maybe he sucked at basketball when he was actually 17. And he wanted the do-over when he was 25. 25-year-old man pretended to be a 25-year-old and enrolled in high school. How old are you, Tito?
I'm 22.
So, like, I feel like at 22, like, you'd probably have a hard time at passing for 17. This guy did it when he was 25. I don't know how he pulled that. Like, nobody thought, like, why does this dude have a full beard? Like, I guess nobody at any point thought it was a little strange that this 25-year-old looking guy, and I saw a picture of him. He doesn't look particularly baby-faced for a 25-year-old. I don't know how he pulled that off. Now, this one, I think this kind of fulfills an office fantasy for a lot of people. Coworker you hate actually leaves. They hold one of those office parties. You try to get revenge on this person by bringing in laxative-laced brownies. I think we've all fantasized about doing something like that. Coworker you hate's decide. Although, like, there have been times, it may or may not have happened recently, a coworker who everybody hates so much leaves, and they don't even bother throwing a party for that person. In fact, they throw a party after the person leaves to celebrate. But this workplace in Michigan, a Michigan engineering company employee has been fired after police determined she baked laxatives into brownies intended for a departing colleague's send-off party. Saline Police Chief Jared Hart says officers confiscated the tainted confections May 3rd after another employee tipped off management. No one ate the brownies. The Ann Arbor News reported that Hart says the 47-year-old woman said, wow, that's really old to be so petty. Maybe, you know, I'll be team petty when I'm 47. 47-year-old woman initially denied putting laxatives in the brownies, but after learning investigators would then test them, she admitted she had done it. Her name has not been released. Other employees told police there may have been tension between the woman, no kidding, and the departing employee, but specifics have not been released. Hart says the woman faces no charges, but if anyone had eaten the brownies, it could have been considered a criminal act. So she actually lucked out, right, that her revenge plan failed so miserably because no one, including the person she baked them for, actually ate the brownies. But if somebody had eaten the brownies, she would have been committing a felony. So she actually lucked out that no one did. 56022 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. One more story, and this one brings it back to sports at least a little bit. So it doesn't take a hardcore NBA fan to realize that the New York Knicks have been a laughingstock for a very long time. Here's something that happened to actor Ethan Hawke. Charles Oakley may have found another ally in his anti-James Dolan crusade, the almost universally despised owner of the New York Knicks, James Dolan. Actor Ethan Hawke appeared this week on the Bill Simmons podcast and revealed he used to have free tickets to New York Knicks home games until James Dolan took them away for his public criticisms of the team. Quote, I've been a Knicks fan a long time, but I got kicked out of the garden. They won't give me tickets anymore, he said. I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious. I really was vocal on some talk shows like this that I thought it was a huge mistake to let Mike D'Antoni go as head coach, and I would have bet on Mike before I bet on Carmelo. I have been left teamless, Hawke continued. The point is that I'm not wanted, and I don't go where I'm not wanted. It's hard to be a fan for a place that doesn't like you. One person who owns the team, I called up one night, and they said it would be $7,800. I was like, well, why is this the first time you guys are charging me? They said you should have thought of that before you went on the Jimmy Fallon show. I was like, wow, this is real. So I've apologized publicly many times and try to get my seats again. You know what? I'm actually going to take the Knicks side of this. Ethan Hawke is looking for freebies. Like, is there anything that wrong? Like, I'm being serious here. As easy as it is to pile on Knicks ownership because they've done an awful job for almost two decades. Ethan Hawke thinks because I'm famous, because I'm like a B-plus list actor, I can just get free seats to any Knicks game. It's not like they banned him from the arena. All that happened was this guy is publicly trashing the Knicks. They took his freebie away. Like they told him, Ethan, if you want to come to a game, you can pay for seats. I honestly think the Knicks are in the right here. I really do. just because they're now treating Ethan Hawke like a regular person who doesn't get free courtside seats doesn't mean he's got to be bitching and moaning. Because guess what, Tito, if I had a hookup floor seats to a Miami Heat game, I wouldn't be going out of my way to trash the Heat. And if I did, because if I feel like that's part of my job is to be critical, I wouldn't expect to have my free courtside seats every game. I think I would understand if I'm trashing the team publicly, my free tickets are going to dry up.
The Knicks need that money too.
That's true. I think if he's a real fan, he would pay for it. He talks about being teamless. What? Because they want to charge you a fair market price for your tickets. Like, that was part of his quote. I'm now teamless. Like, no, they just want you to pay like anybody. Like, maybe Spike Lee still gets his free tickets, but if you're trashing the team publicly, they took your freebie away. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Oh, Texter writes in, Dono, don't bring Big O laxative brownies, which I never would. I love Big O. He says, give them to Manny Chang. I wouldn't do that either. Manny is one of my best friends at this station. Maybe not anymore if he heard what I said about him tonight. But up until like a half hour ago, one of my best friends at this radio station. But you've got to know, if you're sliding into my text messages asking me to bring you a turnover chain UM bobblehead, you've got to understand that maybe I would hook you up if you hadn't put the knife in the back of my team. That's all I'm saying. 8 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.